66 years ago, on a Monday, May 3rd, it was a beautiful morning, unlike today, which is rainy and stormy. Well, it's not stormy now, but it was. But that was a beautiful morning. And as I marched into church, the Benedictine church there on the top of the hill of St. Meinrad, I marched in to be ordained a priest by the then Bishop Paul C. Schulte of Indianapolis, Archbishop of Indianapolis. And so that was a great day for me, 66 years. I did not realize 60 years later, I would be celebrating that anniversary. I didn't think I'd live that long, never mind. 60, I thought, nah, be lucky to get through 25, maybe 30, 40, 45 if I'm lucky. 66 years is a great day for me to realize that God has given me a life this long to celebrate and to be grateful for all He's done for us. That's what this is. Eucharist, Thanksgiving, to give thanks to God for everything. And I follow in the footsteps of my great uncle, who was here pastor from 67 to 81, I think. Church, with the walls were still standing. It was burned down in 24 by the KKK, in case anybody doesn't know this church. But they rebuilt it along these walls with, now it was just a straight through. So we put the apse in there in 26. So they rebuilt the church in 26, but over the foundations of the church that great uncle, Father Francis Joseph Rudolph, he had an uncle, same name, who was at, who started Oldenburg. But he was the he was with the archdiocese at that time, and he was not the first pastor, but he was one of the original pastors here. And he built this church then. Well, it was such a beautiful church at that time and was rebuilt. I don't know how he did it for less than $10,000. I mean, it was gorgeous. How could you build a church for less than $10,000? But he did. Then he left here and went to Gabriel's, St. Gabriel in Connersville, and built that church. The church is still there today. And he died there after he built that church, about a year or so after that. So he was pastor until 1881, and then was moved on to Gabriel's, where he built that church. So he was a building maniac, is all I can say. The only thing I ever did was when I came here, I had to rebuild and put a new tower on our church because it was falling down at that time. So when I came, that's the only thing the only thing I've ever built my chair, my whole reason. But I've done a lot of other things. And even though I'm retired today, I still do great things. And one of the things that I realize today more than ever is that what Jesus said to the apostles at the Last Supper surely applies to me. You did not choose me. I chose you. And I look back on my life and realize, you know, I am sure that I can remember when the Lord kind of spoke to me saying, you know, Paul, you better be a priest. You better be my priest if you want to really save your soul. What? I remember that. So I really became a priest. One of the reasons I became a priest was I heard the words of St. Peter today in that first reading. People, save yourself from this evil generation. The Lord was kind of saying, this is an evil generation. If you're in the world, you might not make it. And that's one of the capital sins today that really is affecting the people. We talk about coronavirus, you know, and how terrible the pandemic. We got a worse pandemic than that, and that's sloth. The capital sin of sloth. Now, that's laziness, but we're not talking about not doing the dishes, or not cleaning the house when we're supposed to, spending too much time on the computer, we're lazy, we don't want to do the other things we're supposed to do, maybe we goof off when we're working, you know, we're kind of lazy, we don't do, the children don't want to do their homework, they don't want to do they want to talk on the phone all the day, you know. Well, that's laziness, but that's material laziness, that's worldly laziness. We're talking about a worse laziness, we're talking about spiritual laziness. People who don't even care about saving their souls. That's sloth. That's the real capital sin. And look around us today. People are so busy doing things in the world and sinning. They don't hear what Paul is saying. They don't hear what God say. And I almost didn't hear God say, you need to be a priest. Now, he didn't say, I need you as a priest. You need to be a priest. You need to do this if you're going to save. Well, isn't that what Saint Benedict did? He had to leave Rome because it was such a terrible place that he knew if he stayed in Rome, he'd lose his soul. He understood the capital sin of sloth. And he left Rome and started the Benedictine. He started the monastery there on outside of Rome. So that's what we have today, unfortunately. So as I celebrate today, I realize that God didn't choose me because he needs me. Oh, it's true. He uses me. He's used me for all these years, especially as I came home, in a sense, back to St. Vincent, where my roots were, when my great-grandfather came over from Alsace-Lorraine and settled here in 54. He moved on to Iowa, but came back and had a farm right down the road here on 244, just across the interstate. He had a 80-acre farm there, which he farmed until he retired and moved to Shelbyville, and then became a member of that church, Saint Joseph, and is buried in Saint Joseph Cemetery there. My great grandfather and some of his sons and some of the relatives. But you know, when I came here, that was one of the things I noticed. There is no Landwehrlands buried out in our cemetery. No Landwehrlands out there. I thought, it can't be possible. We were here. So I said, well, I'm going to make sure that doesn't happen. So I'm going to be buried here. I got my cemetery out there, my stone and everything else, because I want to do that. One of the last things I like to say on this anniversary, I may be retired. People say, are you retired? Oh, you don't do anything anymore? No. Retirement means I do not have a parish to and people under me. I don't have to worry about financing thing about a parish. But I do help out in saying Mass, hearing confessions, and preaching in different places when they ask me. So I'm still busy that way, although I'm retired as a pastor of a parish. So that's what it means to be retired and not to be that busy. But you know, as a priest, one of the things that a priest does, and perhaps the most important thing, is to offer sacrifice, to offer the Mass. People do not understand what the sacrifice of the Mass really is. They don't understand that this liturgy that we're going to do right now gives more honor and glory to God than all the angels and saints in heaven. They do not have a worship service, a liturgy, a prayer service that is better than we have. We have something that's more important than theirs. Why? Because it's what Jesus did on the cross, giving honor and glory to God. And in a few moments, I'll be singing that part, which says, through him, with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in unity, all honor and glory. When I hold the host up and the chalice and sing that prayer, we are giving glory to God, because when Jesus died on the cross, that's what we have here in the Mass. Once again, he's giving perfect honor and glory to God. And so the Mass is such a beautiful thing. And people don't go to Mass. Why? Because they don't realize what they have. They don't realize the glory. We have a better liturgy here on earth praising God than they do in heaven. The angels can't praise God better than us. We have Jesus. He comes here on our altar. But people have to realize that words create reality. When God says something, it's going to happen. He makes it happen. His words make it happen. When he started the whole universe, let there be light, and the Big Bang happened. And it all started because God said, let it happen. I love that passage from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11 says, for just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return until they have watered the earth, making it fruitful and fertile, giving seed to him who sows and bread to him who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. And when Jesus said at the Last Supper, this is my body, this is my blood, he meant those words and he affected those words, just like he did when he changed water into wine at Cana. He didn't want to do that at that time. Why? Because I want to save this special thing for the hour before I die, when I start my glory to give God, glory to God, and die. So that's when he really wanted to do it. So he told his mother, it's not time yet. I'm going to save this hour, changing one thing into another when it was time for me to die. But she insisted, said, okay, I'll do it. It'll be a sign of what I'm going to do. I'll be able to change bread, ordinary bread, and ordinary wine into my body and blood someday. So it'll be a sign of that. That's okay. I'll go ahead and do it for you. And so he did it for his mother, for the hour that he wanted to save for the Last Supper. And one final thing, I guess, we have a difficult time under this. And when Jesus said, I'm going to give you my flesh to eat and my blood to drink, they walked out. They said, nah, you can't do that. And they left him. And he looked at Peter and said, well, you can leave too. And he says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to know and believe that you're the Son of God. Do what you say. And sure enough, he did. And then he said to us, do this in memory of me. So when I say these words, they're the words of Christ. I'm saying, and Jesus said, take this and eat that, this is my body. Those are Jesus' words. Those are powerful words. Those are words that make reality, that make something, one thing into another, because they're God's words. So I am God, Christ as a priest. I'm saying Jesus' words, and I'm saying, this is what God wants me to do, and we have a great sacrifice. So if people just understood that, they could say what Peter did and always come to church and not. We have only a third of our Catholics going to church on Sunday. And yet, you know, they don't realize that what Peter said is true for us. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. What you say happens, and we believe. And so we say Mass and we honor God with the greatest honor and glory possible. No angel could do what Jesus did. But he did it for the glory of the Father and for his own glory today. So as I'm celebrating 66 years, I still enjoy preaching and saying Mass and giving that great honor and glory to God that he deserves.